you're talking about an injury that needs to be managed. You want everyone to see it. It's a good segue to go into Frederik Andersen, who played today, and managing an injury and looking at the big picture. And that's the type of stuff that where, you know, if you look at Kyle, like, and what they're trying to do with Freddie Andersen is give him a couple, you know, a period and a half, see how he feels, readjust. Like, they're just running out of runway as far as, you know, how much time they have to get Freddie back into games. But you can clearly see what they're trying to do.
Well, exactly. And you're waiting for him to basically give you the thumbs up, like, I'm right. ready to rock. And today was a part of the step, you know, yep. for sure, one of the steps towards making it a difficult decision for Sheldon Keefe. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. How do you analyze 31 minutes and 14 shots in the minors for a guy like Freddie Andersen? Like, how is this going to unravel over 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, Noodles is the best guy to ask. I mean, the shots are different. There's, you know, the play's more scrambly. The play's not as predictable. But it's more. But the unpredictability is probably a good thing. To see, you know, as he starts to, you're not just doing a drill where the shots come from the, you know, kind of the same location on the ice all the time, and then you move to the next drill. So I think there's benefit to it. I just heard the tail end there when Noodles was saying about, you know, you can see clearly what the, you know, what the plan is. And I mean, the plan right now is that it has to be right that he's the backup. I'd rather have Freddie Andersen as my backup, all due respect to David Rittich.
I think so.
And then
so.
If something goes wrong with Campbell, then you got to get him in. But he's got to play some, no?
I agree. And that's where I was going to go is if you're looking at it, the Leafs are probably treating this like an offseason for Frederik Andersen. So today was his first exhibition game. It's a half a game. Maybe next game it's like two periods or something. Like, I don't know. I should check. It's on me. The Marlies, I'm sure they play again this weekend.
Yeah.
So maybe he gets two periods next game, and you're constantly reassessing. So all of a sudden he's gotten into two game situations. So with Kiprusoff, this is my only experience to draw on. My starter, I always gave him half game, two periods, then full game, and then into the regular season. That might be the same progression they're doing with a guy like Frederik Andersen. He might be able to get into four actual hockey games, two in the minors, two in the NHL, or some form of something, and be at least game ready in case Jack Campbell, you know, stubs his toe or gets injured. Like, that's what I would be looking
at. That's best case scenario, I think.
I think so, too.
Yep, I agree.
See, I do think, I read it somewhere, and it stuck with me, is that, you know, if when Jack Campbell was 11-0, that to me felt like a hot streak. Like, I don't know, like unrealistic. His save percentage was 9 whatever, like crazy numbers. Right now it feels like this year, this is Jack Campbell. Like, he is a above average top starter. Like, is he the best starter in the league? No, but he's a top starter because his record tells me that. He's now played 19 games, right? So that's a significant number of games. This is him this year. Might not be him next year, and who cares? It's him this year. So, you know, we've talked several times about, you know, if Andersen could get back, who would start game one? And I always said, well, I think Anderson's better, and I think Andersen would be the guy. I don't think that anymore. It's been too many games, too long of him away, but of Campbell doing what he's done.
I agree. Like, listen, opinions are subject to change and situations yep. are subject to change. That's life. You know, things develop and they go in different directions. And I've had the same viewpoint. Like, a month ago, I had a different viewpoint than I do today. And part of that is Campbell, and part of it's Freddie Andersen. Like, you know, the greatest saying, and I've used it a lot recently, that your best ability in sports is availability. I don't know if he's available. So it may just be a moot point anyway. He's not at 100% or not – even if he is at 100%, you look at him, you're like, he's rusty. You can't play a rusty goalie in the playoffs.
You're right.
And he just can't do it.
Here's the other thing I want to add on. Let's take out Vasilevskiy last year because Vasilevskiy is not available to the Leafs. But, you know, Ray just talked about a starting goaltender or 1 and 1A.
Yep.
Washington won. You started Grubauer. Holtby took over. Pittsburgh won. It was Fleury that started, and then Murray took over. In Chicago, it was Darling that played, and then it went to Crawford. Like, there might be a scenario where you use both. And I think what the Leafs are going and looking at is we need to get everyone healthy. And I think I liked Sheldon's comments today. It's a good problem to have. Now, he's going to have to choose who he wants to play. But at least if all three guys are healthy, you go, well, I'm going to start here. And if this doesn't work out, I can pivot to here. But you want health. And that's what they're working to do, is to get Frederik Andersen available to them if they need him. It might be game two. It might be game one. It might be game two. It could be game five. It
could be the second round.
Second round.
It could be at any point.
You're right. So that's the way I look at it is, you're right. Like Tampa Bay, Vasilevsky, I think, played every minute last year for Tampa. And so he should. He's the best goalie, if not, you know, right there. They don't have that. So they're going to do the tandem situation, and that's more like what we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years.
There's been a consistent theme of that, and I think they're probably preparing for it and almost expecting that to be the case. Ideally, one guy takes it, runs with it. You never have to worry about it. Great, but
right.
You're not living in an ideal world all the time. Generally, you're not, come the sports world. The lineup tonight, because of some injuries, there's some guys moving around. And what I find interesting is Wayne Simmonds, according to the morning skate, again, this may change come game time, and Sheldon Keefe moves things around all the time, but he has been consistently on a line with McKayev and Kerfoot over the past couple of weeks. And I get the impression like Keefe is trying to get his lineup set. You know, he's trying to figure out what is going to be there come opening night. And for him, he's moved Simmonds off that line down to a line with Engvall and Spezza playing the middle of the ice. And my spidey senses are going off a little bit, and I'm wondering if the battle, if everyone is healthy, we know Foligno's playing, Hyman's playing. If it's between Galchenyuk and Simmonds,
no.
For who's going to play? No? Okay.
My guess is no. I just think Simmonds is a veteran guy that's playoff tested, and he's like, if you're talking about the lineup starting opening night, I would my bet would be Simmonds would be on it. Ray?
Does it matter who they play?
I don't know.
Like, you know, maybe one of them fits better against another team.
Don't you think?
Although
Simmonds
when I look at it, both teams are big that they're going right. to play.
That's what I say. Like, sorry to interrupt. Don't you think Simmonds would be better suited to play against Montreal? Like, I mean, Montreal
yeah,
plays.
I guess
a
here. Let
physical.
me lay out what I'm saying here. Is what I'm right. wondering is I think it's going to be a fourth line of Thornton on the left side, Spez on the right side. I think it'll be Riley Nash if he's healthy, but it could be Adam Brooks. It could be, you know, I guess it could be Engvall. But I think that's what you're looking at. I think you're looking at McKayev and Kerfoot as two of the three guys in the third line. I have been of the belief Foligno and Hyman are also in the top six, but they might be thinking Hyman's better on that third line, like McKayev, Kerfoot, and Hyman there. So if that's the case, then maybe it opens the door for Foligno to stay with Matthews and Marner and Galchenyuk to stay in the lineup. And if that's the case, again, based on doing the numbers and crunching the numbers, Simmonds would be the odd man out, if that's the case, if they want to play it that way.
This better not go viral,
but
Hayes.
Let me ask you this.
I'm not saying it would be my lineup. We just did our lineups on Friday.
We did our lineups.
On mine.
But we did our lineups, and I had Hyman on the third line, and I did have Galchenyuk on. I just didn't have Riley Nash. There's no. I don't think there's a guarantee that Riley Nash is playing game one of the playoffs.
He may not. He may not.
Like, that's the thing. You could have. Do you hate Jason Spezza at center ice?
Like, I don't love it. I can't say. I don't want to say I hate it, but he's looked pretty comfortable on the wing. Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
I believe that one thing that we've seen pretty regularly from Keith is, and I'm going to say this playoffs or not, is that the lineup is going to, I think it's going to be fluid. Something's going to look great. Something's not going to look great. Something will look great that they didn't think was going to look good. They'll move people around. So that I think in a lot of years, we look at that game one lineup and go, that's it. Like that's what they're running. I don't feel that this year. And it seems because he's really comfortable and he trusts people in different spots. So maybe against Winnipeg, I would want Hyman on the third line because I think you need a top nine more so than you do against Montreal. Like Winnipeg's top nine, assuming Ehlers is back, and I, you know, and we don't know that, that's a really deep 1-9 team. Montreal doesn't have the same thing. Maybe you have Foligno and Hyman on your in your, you know, with Tavares and Matthews if you're playing Montreal. But maybe you want to spread it out differently against Winnipeg. And I think that's the type of thing we'll see, because that's kind of the way Keith has gone about it.
Yeah, he's more prone to moving guys around than his predecessor, that's for sure. I mean, by now we know exactly what Babcock was doing, and Keith keeps you on your toes. And maybe I'm reading too much into tonight's lineup based on where guys are moving around. And, again, that could change by the second period. But something has to give. The point is, if everyone's healthy, they've got a lot of guys, and guys who have been playing regular, that someone's going to be out. And whether it's Galchenyuk, whether it's, you know, Simmons, whoever it's going to be, Spezza, Thornton, I don't know. But someone's going to be on the outside looking in. We discussed what happened at the Garden last night a lot in the 4 p.m. hour. The New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals have offered us up a ton of content for the better part of 72 hours.
Yeah.
And last night was more than I expected. You know, I thought maybe someone was going to go at Tom Wilson, which did end up happening. I wasn't expecting three fights off the draw to open the game and six fights in 5 minutes. What did you make of the whole scene?
This will be kind of goofy, but I didn't even tune in at the start because I knew, I felt there was going to be nonsense, and I had some other things to do. I'm like, I'll just wait till the intermission of Montreal and Ottawa, because, of course, we got the Canadiens tonight. And I'm like, I want to watch the first period here. So I went back, and when I'm looking, I'm like, oh, boy, you know, 1 second, and there's the three fights. My first thought when I saw it was, oh, Carl Hagelin must have loved being in a starting lineup.
No kidding.
It was my first thought. I'm like, he must have been out there, and, you know, you get that buzz, you know, and everybody, there's a moment there where you're like, okay, this is going to happen. And I'm sure he must have looked around and go, I hate this. What am I doing out here? Yeah. I'm 180 pounds. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was nonsense. It was predictable. It could have been avoided.
How would it have been avoided, though?
Wilson was suspended.
But let me ask you this, Ray. That's where I went, and I just wanted your opinion on this. I believe, and we established yesterday, like Wilson, it would have been easy for them to give him one game to at least just avoid the buildup, and if something crazy happened, then you know you're avoiding lawsuits and all of that. Like we talked about that yesterday, but don't you think a guy like Mark Messier, and then, you know, with his comments, and then there's been other pundits saying, you know, this team is too soft, and then all of a sudden the owner fires the president and the general manager and goes, yeah, we have philosophy differences and all these things. Like, I almost thought, I felt there would have been fights regardless. If Wilson was in or not, there just might not have been as many, and it may have just been, you know, fighting. It was almost like they were trying to establish themselves with the new GM.
This gets back, funnily enough, this gets back to respect and disrespect in a lot of ways.
Okay, yeah.
Where, oh boy.
We were looking at it from the same lens. I didn't think Edler had to fight, but I don't think the suspension was relevant in why Simmons decided he was going to fight. And I saw it the same way last night, Ray, is even if Wilson got 20 games, I think the Rangers were like, we have to do something here. Like, we got to fight to prove that we're tough enough to fight. Whether that's goofy or not, I kind of – obviously, Smith wouldn't have gone Wilson.
There would have been one less fight for sure.
One less for sure, right. And maybe even the aftermath after that would have been over. It may have just been off the draw.
Look, the league by their decision – right or wrong, you agree with their decision. I think Wilson should have been suspended. I think he should have been suspended for general nonsense.
Right.
Quite frankly, if they're breaking that thing down to the minute detail, and they're like, you got $5,000 for the punch, but nothing after really sort of met the criteria. Good. So suspend him for one game for nonsense. I don't know. They do it all. There's got to be a way. And if there isn't, there's got to be latitude to explore that. That's my view. My view is also that I don't think that I think the league invited the nonsense by not dealing with it more harshly.
Ray, where do you think this leaves George Parros? Like, do you? I think he had a comment today where he's like, I don't want to do the job if the players don't think I'm doing a good job or the GMs don't respect me. Just where do you think he lies in all this in the aftermath of it all?
You know, that's a good one, because I don't know, like, I don't even know how the information flows. Like, who elects George Parros?
Mm-hmm.
Who votes for him? Who supports him? Who critiques him? What do the players have to do with it? Nothing. They don't. My thought is they don't have anything to do with who is the head of player safety. Isn't that all from the league? So, like, what does it matter what the players think? But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, there's a committee there, right? Like Pronger used to, Shanny used to do it, and then it was, you know, I think Pronger was part of that committee. I believe Ray Whitney is a part of the committee right now in player safety. I think it's not just one guy. George Parros is the head of it. My understanding is that, you know, he goes through an elimination process, goes through the plays and all that, and they talk about it. And
No, I don't mean that, Noodles. I mean, like, when he says, if the players don't think I'm doing a good job, but
right.
What do the players have to, they don't have a say in it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, that's my understanding.
Oh, I think you've got it spot on. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to Gary Bettman makes a call on something like this. Like, it goes all the way up the chain and the collective owners, I think. And that's why the statement from the Rangers was so explosive, because Dolan would technically be his boss in some capacity. And
right.
I would suggest it's probably in their best interest, that job. It's almost like a political office. Change it up every 3 years. You know, whatever it is, change it up. Just
right.
you ran your course. It's not that you did a good job or a bad job. It's just time for some fresh eyes. The game continues to evolve. Maybe you've been in the trench for too long. Maybe you've been getting pulled at from every side, because I'm sure every team is calling up all the time wondering what happened, why did this happen, why did that not happen. That might be a smart play.
I don't think it should be one person either. I think it is kind of a committee, but have a two or three person where they all got to come to the same conclusion or close to it.
Well, I think maybe another way to do it, or another way to look at it, perhaps, is why does that person have to be an ex-player, the head of player safety? Why does it have to be?
It's the only league that does.
If you're a judge, pardon?
It's the only league that does. Like, generally, it comes, every suspension in every other league comes from the office of the commissioner. You know?
Because in my, you know, like a judge, you get assigned a case. You're not an expert on somebody that steals a car. You're a judge.
Who are you thinking, Ray? Like a former ref?
You read the law and you... Pardon?
Are you thinking like a former ref?
No, somebody totally disassociated with it. Like a lawyer. It doesn't have it. Like, why not? It's just law. You're reading the rule book, aren't you?
Here's the thing. I don't disagree with that.
Okay, so let me give you an example. So how many times have we heard, he shouldn't have hit him. I'll give you a crazy, a non-existent example. But he hit him over the head. That's because he got slashed first. That's what the ex-player says. Geez, he shouldn't have done that. Who cares? He's hit him over the head. If that's
right.
Not a suspension the first play, it's not a suspension. Is it a penalty? Should have got a penalty. Is this a suspendable play? That's a suspendable play. The players, ex-players, it's impossible not to look back. Look at us guys. To look back at something without emotion. Because
sure.
We were there. We saw it. We don't like a guy. We like a guy. You're tied. There's always a connection somewhere. A lawyer, a non-insider, if you will, they don't have anything.
Cellino and Barnes, get the skullets out. Cellino and Barnes, you're done for five games.
I think it should be, and I don't disagree with that. Why not have a committee that has a bunch of different voices from a bunch of different backgrounds that are voted in by the owners and by the league? I'm sure the PA should probably be involved in that process, and it runs through that committee. So that way, if you do want a former player on there, great, because he can give his opinion as to what he sees from instinct and from experience. And then you get the lawyer that goes, well, this is what I see from the letter of the law. And then, like, to me, if you got all your bases covered, then it doesn't come from a biased position.
But
where
here's a way around it as well, because my understanding is Bettman has always, I guess, accepted that he didn't play the game and that there's a code and a history that he respects, so he's going to let guys who have done it be the ones who police it, so to speak. You know, and hence why Colin Campbell is, you know, his role and this, you know, George Parros and Shanny and all these guys who have played that position. And I don't get the impression like that happens with other sports. That doesn't mean that they don't survey former players or, you know, counsel certain players like a Goodell or a Manfred or whatever. I think a way around all this would be just have everything come out of the commissioner's office. Like have other people, even if other people are making the decision, put the target on Bettman's back. He's like, because he kind of takes himself out of this. And I get the impression like it's somewhat calculated. Like, go yell at Parros. Don't yell at me. Well, if every suspension, like every other league for the most part, is the commissioner is suspending you, then that's the guy who has to answer for it. And that's the guy who can explain it. And then it's filtered. Everything goes through the commissioner. And there's where you get your explanations. But here it's like, well, Parros is the boogeyman, and he's the one that's ruined the game, where he's got bosses, he's got checks and balances. But, you know, because I don't get the impression
that
happens elsewhere.
And I would say, Brian, we don't really have, none of us have the information about the pressures. And I'm not saying, oh, it's a difficult job, that type of pressure. I mean, like, the forces that would be pushing on either side of George Parros and whoever's in that job. You got general managers, you got the league, you got the Players Association. Everybody's tugging and pulling, trying to get their way. And it's not easy. But I would say we've got enough history that that there's been enough decisions made where you go, you know what, I'm not so sure about that one.
You're right, Ray, but here's the one thing I will say. I don't know if you guys agree with me or not. The league is probably at an all-time high as far as least dangerous than we've seen in many years.
All time. All
would you,
time.
Would you guys agree with that or not?
Yeah, in terms of craziness and
does
wildness.
Doesn't mean there's still a ways to go in certain things, hot-button things, absolutely. Like, I believe, like, I know we're being hard in certain situations, but I look at it, and the game has never been, you know, faster, more skilled. And these plays are really outlier plays. Like, this isn't, like, Parros and them are not every day. I know the Gossespierre got this suspension the day before. I didn't like that play at all. But point being is, we're not seeing five suspensions a day and all of that. Like, the league is pretty, for the most part, I think it's pretty safe out there, and they've done a pretty good job. There are times where a scenario like this, where it's become very, very polarizing. And that's what we focus on, not the everyday stuff that's kind of been running pretty smooth.
Yeah, the day-to-day has cooled down a lot. I mean, we haven't seen a game like that last night. You know, I can't remember the last time we saw anything close to that. And I don't think we'll see it again anytime soon.
No,
yeah, but it doesn't mean that you still don't try to get better.
No, you're right.
Try to get more efficient.
And they're going to.
Like, yeah. No, but are we? We have another hockey guy that is the only guy at the top of the chain of the player safety. You're suggesting a different way, Brian. That's my point. Like, is it going to get better? I don't know. It hasn't in 20 years. The biggest advancement was when Shanny took over. Things changed.
Mm-hmm. Ray's right. This is the beginning of respect and disrespect.
Yeah, well, it's been a good start.
Well, there isn't. It can't go there, hey, or O-Dog, because I got to go do the game, man.
He's
That's
done.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. I can only argue with Hayes so much.
That's right. You got bigger and better things to take care of.
Well, no, no bigger, better. Just, you know, like, I got to eat before the game. Like, that's the important thing.
Okay. Well, go respect the chicken parm or whatever you're about to get after.
I'm going to eat whatever I can get my hands on at this point.
Okay. Go do that, and we'll catch you on the game tonight.
Okay, boys. See ya.
All right, buddy. There he is. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, listen, I've said this for quite some time. I think it's strange that the suspensions don't come from Bettman directly, even if he's not the one making the call. Put the shield up for everyone else. You know, like, when there's a big announcement, it's Goodell, it's Manfred, you know, it's Silver. It just, and I think I understand where Bettman's coming from. Like, he's always, it's almost like he got in the game and he's like, I know it's not my game and I'm not the one that's going to necessarily change the code or have an understanding of it, so we'll let former players figure it out. But, you know, that's another thing where Peros, people yell and scream, well, he was a fighter and a goon, so of course, you know, and then it's like, okay, take that away from the whole conversation.
Right.
The emotion of it all, the hyperbole of it all, well, and filter it through Bettman, and then I think that would probably go a long way in easing some stuff, and it might lead to Bettman maybe changing some things and probably being a little bit more forceful, because if it's simply on his desk, then he may not want to deal with a lot of the fire that comes with these decisions. But